Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I am excited to be back again for another episode of the show. I think you guys are going to be pretty excited today as well. We've got one of our most popular guests here with us today. But before we get into that, I do want to remind you that the show topic suggestion number, if you want to leave a suggestion, if you have a question, if you want prayer, you can actually call and leave a voicemail, or you could text this number, 248-301-2010. That's 248-301-2010. And we'd love to pray with you for your particular situation. We'd love to get your show topic suggestions, your questions, all of that. And a lot of these questions that you guys send in, we do put as topics of the show. And so if you want to hear your question answered on the show, definitely text that number. And don't forget to rate and review us. So rate and review us, Apple Podcasts. You can definitely do that. That's one of the best places to do that. So scroll down to the bottom, give us 5 stars, and then leave us a review there. That really helps us come to the top of the list when people search for podcasts like ours. And don't forget to follow and subscribe to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon, Stitcher, Podchaser, Amazon Music, all the places. Make sure that you follow so you don't miss any of our shows. And if you just want to leave a comment and you want to say, hey, I love the show or anything like that, or you might want to say, hey, you know what? I don't agree with that. Here's another perspective. Why don't you text us at 248-301-2010? And then, and of course, in the show notes, you will be able to see if you want to donate to the show. It'll take you straight to PayPal, and you can go there, and you can donate there. And so, oh, man. So this has been awesome. The last time we had Mary on, we were in the middle of the pandemic. And it was right before or a few months before or so, they came out with the COVID vaccine. And so I just want to remind you guys kind of where we were. It was kind of an awful time where we were, but we talked to her and we talked to her about vaccines. We talked to her about what that could possibly look like. And we talked to her about all kinds of things. And you guys downloaded that show like crazy. And so Mary Toko is back. Mary Toko, she is a speaker, a writer. She's spoken all over the country regarding vaccines. She's a vaccine expert. Her website is childhoodshots.com, childhoodshots.com. She's the author of a book, Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding. I encourage you not only to go to her website, but also to get this book. You can go on Amazon to get this. You can also go to her website. You can also download it on Kindle as well. But Mary Toko joins us now. Mary, welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast.
Very honored to be joining you once again. Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, oh boy, Mary, there's a lot that has happened since you were last on. And as I was just saying there, you were on right before the vaccines came out for COVID, the coronavirus, and so much has happened since then. And could you kind of take us through what has happened, you know, since that moment? What have we learned about COVID? What have we learned about vaccines? What have we learned about how it has affected people? What is this vaccine? How does it operate? All of that. And I'll say this, there's been so many people talking about it, right? There's people on one side saying, hey, it's totally safe. You know, you guys are just being crazy, you know, all of this. But then we have other people who are trying to sound the alarm to say, this is not good. So help us understand kind of where we are now.
Well, we shall go about this systematically. First of all, I am not a medical doctor. I do not give medical advice.
Yes.
I'm an independent researcher, self-driven, self-motivated for over 40 years. as a dedicated Christian and, you know, one who just really believes that God did not forget to make our bodies with an immune system, that's always been the foundation with which that I have done my research and my investigation. And I try to put only good things in my body and in the body of my children. So that's kind of like, you know, what I want to do today is just kind of enlighten people about what has come, what has happened since we started doing this jab in the country and why this is different from a traditional vaccination, whether it be childhood vaccine or adult vaccine. What we're doing is very, very different. I will also say that everything that I share with you is based on scientific research, top doctors, researchers. I can't give you all of the references today or we'd be on here for 10 hours, but I will tell you this, between a COVID, I have something called COVID Pandemic Exposed on my website. It's a downloadable. It is a 60-page document full of references, studies, and pictures of what I'm going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. You can get that off my website, and you will see that everything that I report to you is not based on Mary Toko's opinion. Yep. It's based on science, research, and we don't all have all the answers yet. Yeah. This is an experiment on human beings around the world, and so we're learning new things all of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to scare people who got the jab,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we now have massive researchers coming out and exposing problems with the whole program. And, you know, so I will say this, you know, I do a lot of podcasts and a lot of people are having what we call jab remorse.
Yeah.
They're starting to feel bad.
Mm.
They might have taken one or two and then got a booster and have not been right. Even our own state congresswoman in our state, Nancy Mace, was totally pro, you know, this jab. And she got it. And she's having neurological problems. She's had sickness and illness. She said, I have been different ever since that jab. Mm. And so now she's speaking out and she's saying, oh my gosh, I was not willing to look at the research. I thought it was all conspiracy theory. And she says, now we're having hearings on it. And the makers of these jabs are coming out and they're claiming, no, we don't know that. But, you know, they're coming out and stating the things that have been said for many months now and agreeing with it, that the science has not been done.
My goodness.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate, but you know, often people will say, well, what if we took it, you know, what can we do? I'm hoping that in our next part, I can talk about some of the things that are helping people recover, regain their health, improve their health, detox, whatever you want to call it. There are protocols that different people are putting out that you can do at home that can help your body. But I always say, Pastor Kevin, the first thing you need to do is get on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you for taking an experimental jab and not trusting that God created us with an immune system that is very capable. You know, the death rates are, I have all the stats in my report. The death rates for children is like almost nothing. Up until the age of 65, if you're a healthy individual, the death rates are so low for the infection that it does not justify taking an experimental new type of technology vaccine. It just doesn't warrant it. So I just tell the Lord, hey, I'm sorry. I might have made a mistake. I'm asking the Lord to heal me now. Tell him to guide you and direct you and give you wisdom about what you can do to help your body recover. So start with that. Sound good?
Yeah. And yes. And somebody, you might be listening, you say, oh man, you know, I had to take this. Because some people, they were kind of stuck, right? They were stuck in this thing of, should I take it? Should I not take it? It doesn't sound good, but I work in the medical field or I do all of these type of things. And so, you know, what I've said to people is, you know, if you've had to do that, if that is something that you felt like at that particular time you had to do because of whatever reason, there are ways, like Mary is talking about, to detoxify your body from these things. And I think, you know, we, and again, I want to say this, and I didn't say this in the beginning because I don't want to get a lot of, I mean, you guys, I know you can send me whatever you want to send me, but I want to say this. We are talking, I'm giving you the information here today. Mary is giving you the information today. Okay. You have to take this information and do what you feel that you need to do with it. Right. I am not telling you, you must, you have to, you whatever. I am saying to you that it, you know, you, we need to just be careful. We need to research. We don't need to just be sheep that just listen and just ingest and take everything we hear. Most of what we hear in the media is propaganda. That is just the way it is. On both sides. It's just propaganda. So we have to be careful, and we need to just look at the science, look at the research, and help people to understand, help others to understand what we're facing. And so I just want to say that, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that's going to, you know, they might send me some hate mail, but it's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I'm just saying, take what you hear today, and before you criticize it, look at the science. I encourage you, go to Mary's website. Get this 60-page report. I'm telling you, she sent it to me prior to this. I'm telling you guys, some of the stuff that I saw in there is just crazy. I mean, the things that are happening, the things that are going on, see it for yourself, okay? And then make your decision, or then come up with the conclusion. So I just wanted to say that, Mary, before we kept going. Well,
and I totally agree with you. It's all about making an informed decision.
Yes.
And if you don't have the facts, you're not making an informed decision.
Right.
And you know, I even say, Pastor Kevin, don't trust me.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, trust no man.
Yeah.
Our trust is in God. Don't trust me. Look at my research. I like to call myself like a journalist messenger. Mm. I dig deep. I deep dive into all these things. And then I tell people what I find. And hopefully they come to a conclusion that they can live with.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of what I expose is not happy material.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Right?
The truth is usually not happy. That's the... almost like in anything, the truth, it's the same thing. And those of you that listen to my podcast, you know this. It's the same thing with theology, right? There are preachers and pastors out there who preach easy, you know, cotton candy messages that won't help anyone, and they won't preach the things that will actually help change a person's life. And so, you know, we're you guys are used to me talking about that. The truth is not, doesn't always make you feel good, but it's not about feeling good. It's about what the truth actually is. And so these are some of the things that we're trying to share with you today. So.
Goodness said better. That was awesome. Yeah. So let's start. For those of you who, this might be new to you, maybe it's the first time you're hearing it, go ahead and take notes if you want. But the messenger RNA injection is very, very different from traditional vaccinations. And so what makes up the messenger RNA injectant? RNA is actually nucleic acid. It's in all living cells within the body. Its principal role is to act as a messenger carrying instruction from the DNA for controlling the synthesis of protein. Although in some viruses, the RNA rather than the DNA carries genetic information. So this is all about cell communication. Our DNA is what makes you uniquely you. It's called the molecule of life. It's in all organisms. You all have your own genetic material, and it's codified as DNA. The full name of DNA is kind of a long one. You don't even have to remember that. But anyway, it gives you basically, it's called I'm not even going to say it. It's a big, long name. But just we all are familiar with our DNA. It's our code. The COVID-19 jab is not an ordinary vaccine, as I said. It's more of a gene therapy and designed to manipulate the gene expression. And so the theory of the messenger RNA supposedly is supposed that it teaches the body how to make specific proteins that can help your immune system prevent or treat certain diseases. They are using this technology in cancer treatments and other medications. It is very, very new. Messenger RNA is a type of single-stranded RNA involved in protein synthesis and turns you into a factory for the antigen, not necessarily a good thing. We are now seeing T cell exhaustion in those who took the jab, and their risk for the infection itself is very great after taking it. They actually become more susceptible. The outcome is still very unpredictable. We're going to talk about some of the outcomes here today of what we see going on, things that have dramatically changed in our world, not just in the United States, but across the globe since introducing this new jab. They are actually calling it systematic autoimmune disease that is happening. So one of the things that happens is it produces what is called a spike protein. And it's a glycoprotein projecting from other membranes that binds to the receptors of the host cell and facilitates entry of the virus into the host. It looks like a picker or a burr. And I think by now most people have seen pictures of it. But it looks circular, but it has spikes on it.
Yeah.
Because it's able to get through the cell membrane. And basically, it's not good news, folks. Again, this is all very experimental. But it allows whatever it is to get into the, to facilitate entry into the virus, into the host. And the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein has now led to a lot of heart dysfunction. In other words, cellular enlargement, cardiac inflammation, myocarditis. There's a lot of things that we are now seeing as a result of the spike protein getting into the cells. And then, of course, we have replication of it all over the body. Dr. Peter McCullough happens to be a cardiologist. He has been sounding the alarm for almost 2 years. In fact, he was recently being sued by Baylor Scott White University Medical System in Dallas, Texas. Because he came out over a year and a half ago saying that this is causing severe heart problems. It's not good. It's causing cytokine storms, leading to autoimmune fatigue and autoimmune dysfunction. The good news is he just got vindicated. Their court case was thrown out of court because he was able to basically show that he doesn't represent the university medical system, that he is speaking 100% on his own. And so therefore, they cannot stop him from speaking. And that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you probably have heard that whenever a doctor begins to talk about the problems with this whole pandemic, their license is oftentimes threatened. They lose their job. As you mentioned earlier, a lot of people felt threatened. They felt like they needed to take the jab or they would have no income. Single parents who have a job, like in the nursing or medical field, or, you know, pilots, many pilots took the jab. Many workers took the jab reluctantly because they needed the income.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now starting to see the fallout of that in many ways. Some of it, good fallout. For example, I understand that there was a lawsuit in New York where all of the people who lost their jobs, the lawsuit said that they had to get their jobs back because they refused to take it, okay?
Right.
They had to get their jobs back, and they were given $40,000 per person for job loss revenue. So there are court cases happening all around the country for those people who were able to stand up and say, I'm not doing this. I won't do this to my body. You know, they might have had a strong medical conviction or religious conviction of some sort. But nonetheless, we're starting to see people who stood against the grain and said, I'm not doing this, who are now being vindicated. And basically, it's starting to turn. And that's what makes me very hopeful.
Yes.
Is that I think there's a lot of people waking up saying, oh my gosh, there's problems. Those problems that people were talking about are real.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing that people are waking up.
Yeah, I just kind of want to, because these are questions, and as we go through this, there are questions that I think that people are going to have in the audience that I want to ask, because I think this is what they're thinking, and I think you and I may know the answer to these, and you know, may not have these questions, but, you know, we had those press briefings almost daily when we were in the middle of the pandemic. And you've seen people up like Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx. And these are people who people would look at and say, hey, you know, they've spent many, many, many years. Dr. Fauci was pretty well respected in his community. They spent many years studying these things and all of that. You know, why would they support something like this? And, you know, we on this podcast would say, yeah, that's not a good idea. So could you explain a little bit why you think they would have so much credibility behind something that can be so dangerous?
Well, I'll tell you what, I personally believe, and there's a lot of evidence proving that our CDC, Center for Disease Control, the Federal Drug Administration, FDA, and many of the regulatory boards in Washington have been pretty much hijacked and taken over by big pharmaceutical companies. And unfortunately, Dr. Fauci has been a part of that for many, many years. I'm not one who likes to talk about conspiracy theorists, but I will tell you what right now, this idea that our CDC and our FDA have been taken over by the big pharmaceutical conglomerate is a fact. It's not a theory. It's been proven. I believe Dr. Fauci will find himself in court someday where he will be tried for crimes against human beings, because Dr. Fauci has been involved many, many years in learning how and supporting scientists on how to take animal viruses and make human beings more susceptible to them. It's called gain of function. And in fact, one of our, Rand Paul has been having hearings over and over. Simply go on YouTube and put Rand Paul, you know, COVID hearings. You're going to hear him over and over saying, Dr. Fauci, we have documents here that was considered illegal. We were told that we weren't going to do it. It was too dangerous. And yet you continued to do it. I believe he's a guilty man. And I believe that he's either going to spend the rest of his life in jail or, you know, I believe he is guilty of perpetuating the largest criminal act against humanity that we've ever seen, especially in our lifetime. This is bigger than any other human crisis on the globe that I can see, other than maybe the flood, which God, you know, allowed the flood when everyone was killed. But No. I do believe that the people behind this are going to be shown that they have a whole agenda. They've been working on it for many, many years. There are videos and YouTubes of the World Health Organization and other entities talking about the coming pandemic, how to handle it in 2017. They knew something was coming, and that they actually talked about how to make this happen. And so this is all out there now, folks. More and more people are willing to look and say, okay, why did this happen to America? Why did it happen to the United States? What is behind it? And there's just so much information proving that this was a plandemic. It was not an accident. I believe that we know where the virus came from. I've written articles and been published on that. This is no accident, folks. I believe that there are powers that want to reduce our population. And as we get into more of this discussion today, and we talk about what it's doing to pregnancy and infertility and infant death, when we talk about these things, you're going to see the bigger picture has to do with population control. And so that's basically my opinion based on a lot of science. And I know that it's very hard for some people to believe that our government would be so evil, that our government, that there are people in this world that are that evil. And yet, look back biblically, all throughout biblical history, there were king after king went after the boys. And you know, look at Moses. He was, in his generation, they were killing all the firstborn boys.
This
is nothing new. Look at the abortion industry.
Right.
So, I mean, this is nothing new. And it's really, really so deep that only by the grace of God are we going to be able to, number one, wake up people and try to salvage what has happened to this country and other countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's about salvaging what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Yeah. No, it did. I appreciate that.
Okay. So another part of this is called lipid nanoparticles. And again, people don't have to be scientists to understand that this is something created in a laboratory, never before used on human beings, that has incredible consequences, most of them negative, most of them really bad. And so you don't have to be a scientist or researcher to understand that this is not good. Lipid nanoparticles actually can get into the brain. They have a tendency to attach to the placenta, to men's testes. They can transverse into every single cell in the body. They're nanoparticles, folks. They are patented. These products are patented by the CDC and other members like Dr. Fauci. You know, he has part in the patenting of these things. Bill Gates owns patent on some of these products that we're talking about that are showing up in this jab. They're making billions off of this.
My goodness.
And I say, you know, Bill Gates isn't a doctor, but yet somehow or another, he has incredible control over everything we're doing in this world medically. I don't get it. I don't get it. But anyway, what does it mean when these nanoparticles get into the brain, the uterus, ovaries, and testes? The result is dysregulation and disruption of, for women, it's been the menstrual cycle. It disrupts pregnancy. It is affecting breast milk production. I have seen in the literature that women's breast milk has a blue to greenish tint to it after they get the COVID jab. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? And I can remember when the jab first started being given to pregnant women or women who just had babies, a woman got the jab, she nursed her baby, and her baby died of a heart attack within 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
That was, you know, right when the first jabs came out. Naomi Wolf, by the way, write this name down. Go on to other, you know, Rumble or podcasts. Maybe even you might even know who she is. But Naomi Wolf is a woman who is speaking about this and was interviewed by Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is a medical doctor who has a podcast. And, you know, when I first started listening to him, he was still very much pro the jab.
Yeah.
And now he is shifting completely away. In fact, he admits that he's seeing a whole nother side to this that he didn't see 2 years ago. And he has incredible people on his show that are exposing all of this. And I think he's a pretty credible doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one. So those are just little things that we're finding. Also, they are finding foreign parasites in the jabs. So a lot of people don't realize that when these jabs come in, they're in vials. And they were told that they had to be kept at 90 degrees below zero to keep them safe, frozen. And then, of course, in order to inject, they have to thaw it, right?
Yeah.
So there was a group of doctors called the Korean Veritas Doctors. And they decided to find out when people started dropping dead and stuff, they started, well, what's in these jabs? Let's do this. They use 5 or 6 different diagnostic tools to look at these injections as they were melting and getting less and less frozen. And they, like every, you know, so many degrees, they'd look and see what's going on. When they became body temperature, they started to see all kinds of things coming to life. Now, on that report that I have pictures of it because they don't just report this. They show you true pictures of what they're finding in these jabs in various different vials. Now, I will also say they looked at all 3 manufacturers and they found that within some of them, there were actually placebo vials. And they believe that this was done on purpose so that some people would get a placebo and would have no side effects, no direct effects, and no symptoms. Make sense?
Wow.
So when you hear that, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to open up my COVID report so that I can reference properly because it's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also another whistleblower program, Stu Peters. If you don't know who he has investigated so many, interviewed so many incredible doctors that are out there sounding the alarm. And we're not talking about fringe doctors here. We're talking about traditional doctors that it took them a lot for them to stand back away from their traditional education. And it's like they had to put on a new set of glasses to see what's going on here. It's like very difficult for doctors to come to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep in mind, these doctors are not only having to step back and look at everything from a different perspective, but their licenses are being threatened. They're being ostracized. They're being slandered in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds and hundreds of them now in the United States that this is happening to. And so Stu Peters is another one that has exposed a lot of these people. And again, I'm just trying to encourage you to know that this information is out there. You just have to look for it. And I'm so glad that you're interested enough to start talking about it on your programs as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's important. While you guys are listening, I just want to remind you the phone number 248-301-2010. You can leave any suggestions there if you want to sound off about what you're hearing today. You can certainly do that as well. And don't forget to go to childhoodshots.com and get Mary's book, Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding. It's so important that you study, you research, and continue to learn. So,
and I will tell you, the reason I wrote this book was because as I've been speaking around the country now since 95 about normal childhood vaccines, everywhere I go, hundreds of parents are saying, we don't want to do the childhood shots anymore. But what do we do? How do we take care of our children? You know, we all love our children. We all want what's best for them. And so I saw that there was this huge need for young parents, even old parents, who decide they don't want to do these anymore. They have to understand that God did not somehow forget to give us an immune system, that he created us all with an incredible immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that when babies are born, it's there. It's just underdeveloped. Just like their lungs, their bones, their brain, their whole body's underdeveloped. But their legs are still legs.
Right.
And they will develop as they grow.
Yeah.
And as they learn, their legs are going to grow, their lungs are going to grow, their brain is going to grow. Well, their immune system grows in combat. That's the only way it grows.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have done studies with babies. If they aren't allowed to crawl around and walk, their growth is stunted. They just lay around.
Yeah.
And so we've got to use our body, and the immune system needs to be strengthened by going through infectious illness. And so that's why I wrote my book. I want people to understand that God provided you with the tools. You just might not understand what those tools are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taught that every symptom in the body is a bad thing.
Mm.
So we drug our children.
Right.
They have a little fever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a fever. We drug our children. You go to the doctor and you get a series of vaccines. The first thing he says is, if your child runs a fever, give them Tylenol, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have a report on my website, the dangers of Tylenol, because it contains acetaminophen. And so, you know, again, it goes back to what we know and what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we only can work with what we know, right?
Yeah.
So I made this book specifically for people to help them understand their options on how to raise children without medication and drugs, unless it's medically necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wrote that book.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, a normal vaccine, by the way, is made very, very differently. How they used to make other vaccines is they would culture the viruses in different mediums. They would, first of all, get the viruses from sick, infected people or animals, and it would be in the form of pus, blood, urine, feces. There's different, you know, they would get this infected viruses from those different body fluids and stuff, and then they would culture them in different cultures, whether it be decomposing animal parts, chicken eggs. There's many, many different mediums that they use.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is animals have viruses as well. Decomposing monkey kidneys have viruses. Decomposing cow tissue, pig tissue, animal tissue have viruses as well. And so they started to notice that the human vaccines were being contaminated by animal viruses. And it was making people sick. And they've known about this for, gosh, 60, 70 years. But they continued to do that for many, many years until they came up with this new process of the messenger RNA. So they gradually moved away from the old way of producing these vaccines and are shifting into the messenger RNA way. But all of the vaccines that your children have on their schedule, previous to the new jab, all of them were made kind of like this old-fashioned way, using animal parts, body parts, even caterpillar parts are used. Imagine that. Insect parts are used.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. And again, I cover all of that. And I'm not just promoting myself, folks, but I'm letting you know there's so much about traditional vaccines that people don't realize. And I cover it on a 6-part DVD series where I talk about vaccine ingredients. And I tell you all of the different animal parts and insect parts that they're using to create viruses and proteins for vaccines. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I call it Frankenscience, right?
Right.
So what makes these traditional vaccines so dangerous, though, are things called adjuvants. And it's A-D-J-U-V-A-N-T, adjuvants. Adjuvants are put into vaccine to cause a turbo effect in the immune system. So adjuvants by nature are man-made, carcinogenic, toxic type elements that really don't belong in the human body, but they go in and they really stimulate the immune response to whatever's being injected. So if you're getting an MMR vaccine, the adjuvants put in that are there to stimulate the immune system and draw it to the MMR viruses and cause an ongoing reaction. What I believe is probably the most dangerous part of traditional vaccinations is not just the viral load that you're getting via injection, but the adjuvants that are coming along with those vaccines. And so I cover this extensively, aluminum, phenol, acetone. You know, there's many, many man-made adjuvants that are put in all of the vaccines. A vaccine is completely ineffective without adjuvants. One of the common adjuvants that was used for many, many years is a form of ethyl mercury called thimerosal. And it was in all the vaccinations, the childhood vaccines, up until two congressional hearings in the year 2000 to 2003. And I believe it was causing severe neurological injury, everything from attention deficit hyperactivity, autism, seizure disorders, learning problems, diabetes, and all of that. Okay. And they transitioned from that thimerosal to aluminum. And instead of high thimerosal, they reduced it and we have high aluminum now. And again, I believe that the high aluminum levels are one of the main causes of the autism, seizure disorders, neurological disabilities, diabetes, asthma issues, learning problems, all kinds of mental, emotional issues. Look at all the children that are suffering with depression and anxiety. It's like our children are so, so sick. And yet they should be healthy because they're getting all of these vaccines to make them healthy, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't realize the number of vaccines that our children are getting if they're fully vaccinated, which probably 80-85% of the population, our children, are fully vaccinated. In 1986, they passed an act that would protect the vaccine manufacturers from all liability. So in 1986, all of a sudden, there's no more financial liability for death or injuries for vaccines. And that, to me, in itself is wrong because this is a private industry. Imagine having a product that they're mandating. They're telling people you have to have this before putting your children in school. And yet if your child dies or has seizures or is on feeding tubes or is suffering with anything from autism and asthma and death, there's no one financially responsible for that injury. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Well, that, all of a sudden you have all these pharmaceutical companies going, well, let's jump on the bandwagon. It's why not? I mean, they can create a product that's supposed to go through all the federal processes of making sure it's tested for safety, and then they mandate it. They throw it right in with the childhood vaccine program, and it's just, let's just keep going. So by 2018, there was 72 vaccines on the schedule for anybody who is 18 or younger. Mm. By the time a child is 18 months old, they now get 38 to 40 vaccines.
My goodness.
Before they're even really talking.
Mm. That's incredible.
And this has never been done before in the history of humanity.
Yeah.
And I have watched, because I started researching back in, well, it would have been 1997, 98. No, I'm sorry. 70. Yeah. My daughter was born in 1980, and I was starting my research the year before that, 1979. Because I've seen that, I've watched it happen in front of my eyes as they increase the number of vaccines. And for years and years and years, I've been saying, look, people, we're having serious problems. And I know that a lot of parents have been waking up over those years. Even a lot of doctors have woken up. But I think now more and more people, because of this crisis that we're getting out of, people are waking up unlike ever before. So this is the silver lining of what I have been doing for over 40 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's incredible as what I can say, just to hear. You know, and I know, you know, last time we touched on a little bit of this as well, about how many vaccines that children have to get now, that they're saying that they need to get. And, you know, it's crazy to why. I was just telling somebody this yesterday, because I was telling them you're going to be on, and they were asking me all these questions. And I was just trying to tell them, like, there are videos where a child, totally normal, and then all of a sudden, this child comes back from getting their, you know, their regular regimen of vaccines, and all of a sudden they're autistic, or, you know, it's sometimes within minutes, others within hours, yes. You know, and people, and it's like, and I was telling this person, I said, if you were to go to the doctor and you had something weird, just abnormal started happening with you, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go through a litany of things and ask you, well, have you done this? Or what have you done different? Have you changed your diet recently? Have you, you know, all of these type of things. Why? Because they realize that something like this shouldn't be happening, right? Well, it's the same. But when we talk about kids who become autistic shortly after they get the vaccine, people act like as if, well, we haven't done anything since, you know, in the last few months or the last month or a few weeks. Like, it's almost as if they're so bound to the idea that they don't want to correlate the two, that it doesn't make sense for you to ask that question. But if you were to go to the doctor, they would ask you that. What have you done in the last, what have you done differently in the last month? Right. And it's just, yes. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we just don't want to hear the truth. Like, we don't want to hear that something that we feel like, I think the craziest thing, Mary, that I've had to realize is there are people who wear suits, who go to college, who look very credible, who, you know, has the respect of their peers, will lie to you to yes. your face. There are others who, unbeknownst to them, because you said last time you were on, you said, and I loved how you talked about doctors and how they are how academia is for them, how they go through this 8 years of, you know, they're taught to, if this person has this, well, then you medicate it with this. As opposed to really understanding and learning some of the things that you've researched, they don't even go through any of this stuff. And I remember you saying that, I'm going, that makes so much sense. Because when you go to your doctor, I mean, they're just, it's almost like they're a robot. They just say, okay, this is, you know, because every other doctor is doing that, except the doctors who go, wait a minute, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. We need to dig into this a little bit further and go from there, which I have a doctor that's like that, because I ended up getting COVID really bad in 2021 and I had it for a month and a half. And my doctor, you know, the one thing that I loved about him is when I called, he said, Kevin, he said, I think you'll be okay. He goes, we have a regimen that we put people on of things that has seemed to be really helping. And it was alternative things. It wasn't, you know, let's give you whatever the, you know, I can't remember all the things that were available then, but, you know, he said, you know, just, you know, drink a lot of fluids, you know, just the regular things. Right. Sure. And thank goodness I came out of that. But, you know, anyway, it just made me think of that when you were saying that. So
there are literally thousands of doctors who have done a 180-degree turnaround. And you're right. You know what? Doctors go into medicine because they care about people.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make them look bad. Okay.
No, no.
But I'll tell you what, you're right about the fact that, number one, they do not study vaccinations. They get one small chapter on vaccines while they're in school. That's it. It's not even pages. It's like two or three paragraphs about vaccines in school. So they don't know how they're made. They don't know the ingredients. They don't know what adjuvants are or what they're put in there. They don't get any of that information. And like I encourage people, you know, go ask your doctor, and I don't care what kind of doctor he is or she is, how much aluminum is in the first vaccine given to your baby the day they're born.
Mm.
They won't know that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they will say, though, oh, it's safe. It's been proven safe. And there's aluminum in breast milk. And our body makes aluminum. Aluminum is not toxic. That's what they are told. And I think it's just uninformed doctors who are, excuse the expression, they're regurgitating what they were taught in school without ever stopping to question.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't have time to question in school.
Mm-hmm.
They go, they learn, they take their boards, they hang their shingle, and they go to work.
Yeah.
And this is what you say. I mean, it's amazing to me how all over the country and in Canada, where I've been for many years, I used to speak there too. People would say the same thing. My doctor said the same thing. These vaccines are safe. If you don't give them to your child could die. Are you going to live with that? How do you feel? Don't listen to those website moms. That's what they say. Don't listen to those website or that, you know, don't be one of those internet moms.
Mm.
And that's how they talk about people like me and other parents. I have found the most educated people that I have come in contact, and over the years of speaking, thousands are the educated moms.
Yeah.
When they come up to me, they say things like, Mary, the first child we had, we didn't question. But man, there was something just not right after that second or third shot or the second set or whatever. So we started digging into it. You know what? My child had this vaccine with this and this and this and these ingredients and this, and they know, and they've been studying it and they've been looking it up, and they're educated. They're making educated decisions.
Yeah.
They're not being irresponsible.
Right.
And so some of the doctors that are just rocking it out there, Dr. Paul Thomas, you know, exposing a lot of this, Dr. Jim Meehan, Peter McCullough, Robert Malone, Dr. Jane Ruby. Stu Peters is not a doctor, but he has a great program. He interviews a lot of different people. You know, Del Bigtree's, his site is called The Highwire. There's doctors all over the country that are getting on these programs and sounding the alarm. So this isn't just based on my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So moving on, they just added the COVID jab to the children's schedule, folks. If your children are in a public school, every state has different vaccine, I would say, laws. It depends on your state, but many states still have exemptions available for children who attend public schools and private schools. If private schools take one penny of money from the federal government, they have to follow the mandates. They have to require your child to be vaccinated, or they require a waiver form on file. So check out you can go on my website under vaccine laws. I have a map of the country, and you can actually go on your state and you can find out if you have a medical exemption, philosophical exemption, or a religious exemption available to you. I also have an example of biblical support for not vaccinating on my website under my articles. But for whatever reason, whether you're concerned about the aborted fetal tissue in vaccines, which I stand before God and tell you there is fetal human DNA tissue in vaccines. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study out of Italy. They looked at the MMR vaccine. They found 100% male DNA in the measles component of the MMR vaccine. This is one of the reasons why we have gender confusion and why we're having hormone disruption in both male, you know, male and female children. So there's a lot to this. It's very complicated, but all of that information, there's so much on, and that information on my website, just, it's free. Go there, start there.
Yeah.
And look up some of the references that I put in these studies, because you have to make an informed decision. It's up to you to defend your decision, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, I was talking to somebody, like I said, yesterday, and just talking about you being on this show. And one of the things that they said was, what do you feel like about, so when you think about the flu back in the 20s, 30s, whenever, you know, the huge, you know, the Black Plague, the all the things that we've had that has happened.
Yes.
And then you think about the measles, you think about polio, you think about all the things that have been seemingly eradicated because of vaccines. How do you, you know, because I know people are listening. Going
absolutely great question.
You know, like what like right. How do you explain that, and how do you, you know, so what's your thoughts around that stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what the science says, and I'll tell you what the CDC used to have on their website. So we have to remember that before modern sanitation, before we had electricity, before we had running water, before we had sanitation systems and all of that, people back in the early turn of the century, in the 1900s, they didn't have water running in their kitchen sink.
Right.
They had streams and rivers with which to bathe in. They also had animals that they raised because they had to raise their own food. They didn't even know what a virus or a bacteria was. They didn't understand that feces and body waste is not a good thing to have around your food. They didn't understand that animal waste is not a good thing to walk in. That's where tetanus came from. So as we began to improve sanitation, water supply, and better nutrition in the world, not just in our country, as we improve these things, death rate from all of the normal infectious illnesses, measles, mumps, rubella, roseola, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, smallpox, all of these diseases declined rapidly. All of this is documented. I show on my DVD series the charts and the graphs from the CDC website where they show that all of these infectious killers were on the dramatic decline, almost down to nothing, decades before they introduced the first vaccination. Again, improved sanitation, improved water supply. People back in those days only bathed maybe once or twice a month. And they were also bathing where the animals bathe. You might have a river where you go to bathe, and upriver, the cows are in that river laying around in the heat of the sun. You know, they used to throw their feces and their urine out their window into the yard every morning. I'm just telling you, folks, it wasn't like it is now. They didn't have refrigerators. Food was stored in cellars, root cellars, where they didn't have plastic sealed containers. They
right.
had wood, homemade wood boxes. And so insects would get in there. Rodents would get in there. They would infect the food. Their bedding was made from straw that came from the fields, many times full of bugs. That's where you hear that old saying, good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite you, right?
Yeah.
The refrigerator wasn't even developed until the early 1940s. Not everybody had a refrigerator, especially in the like parts of the country, the hill people, in the small communities, the poor communities. I'm sorry, the 1920s. I believe it was in the early 1920s when the first icebox was created. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It was a very different world back then. Mm. And then as we improved all of these things, the death rate of all these infectious illnesses was on the dramatic decline. That doesn't mean people didn't get them. You still got measles, chickenpox, mumps, roseola, diphtheria, pertussis. But the death rate dramatically declined because of all of these other improved things in our society.
Mm.
And again, it was at least two decades before the first vaccinations were given out on a mass scale.
Wow.
So that there's a lot of proof. It's not just me. The World Health Statistics Annual in the 60s put out an incredible report saying that regardless of the amount of vaccines administered throughout the world, in countries wherever they improved food supply, clean water, and sanitation, those countries, the health of the people increased dramatically and death rate from infectious illnesses decreased. And in fact, we have diseases that we never had vaccines for that were also very prevalent. Roseola is one of them. It was one of those common diseases back then. We never had a vaccine for it.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
That answered your question?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this, guys, see, this is the type of stuff that I'm saying. Like, you know, I had a person asking me this, and, you know, anytime you bring up things like this, people have all these questions, and, you know, and it seems like maybe they got one over on you, or it might seem like, oh, well, yeah, how are they going to explain that? Right. But then you talk to somebody who has been studying this stuff for as long as Mary has, and you realize there's answers to these things. And it's important that we, again, research, study, go on her website yourself, go on other people, you know, there's so many people that she's given us just in this episode to say, check out this doctor, this person, you know, all of these people. And I, you know, and I didn't actually know that about Dr. Drew. And that mm-hmm. is interesting because he's a celebrity doctor and,
yes.
you know, and is around a lot of people who would not agree with him at all. And to see that he's making the shift, I would encourage you. I mean, you look up Dr. Drew, you'll see he's out there with all the celebrities and all the A-listers and all the people. And even he's saying, I think his name is Dr. Drew Pinsky, I believe is his last name. But he's out there with all the who's who of Hollywood, and he's even sounding the alarm. So
big time.
That is really something to see. And so, guys, it's just not these, as Mary says, these fringe, internet moms or whatever people want to say. The truth is the truth. It doesn't matter whose mouth it comes out of. That's what we have to get past titles, because a lot of that is what's getting us in trouble. I mean, again, let's go back to Dr. Fauci. We saw Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx up there over and over again telling us things like, well, masks, you got to mask, then you got to put double masks on, and you got to do like all of these things that we really found out later. The science is just not there. Like, it's just not. And they haven't come out and said, you know what, we were wrong No, it's a narrative. They push the narrative and they're looking for as many people to follow it. And so, again, you guys know, and on this show, I am the furthest from conspiracy Uh-oh. Theory that you can possibly get. I don't like it. I am not interested. But listen, there are times and there are things that when you look deeper, you find out, though it may sound conspiratorial, it's not. And, you know, we need to follow, as what they tell us all the time, follow the science. Well,
mm-hmm.
We're telling you today, follow the actual science. This is great. And we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this discussion next time on our show. Now, here's what I want you guys to know. Next time on the show, We're also going to talk about, why are people dropping dead? Why are all of these people just, and, you know, I put it on my Facebook not that long ago. If you're personal friend, if you're friends with me on my personal Facebook, I've been sending these things to my wife, article after article after article of 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, athletes, very, very healthy people, 15-year-olds, 13-year-olds. I mean, it is unbelievable. They are randomly dropping dead from heart issues, and there's no explanation for it. Facebook has taken off the died suddenly. There was a Facebook group called Died Suddenly. I was in that group because people were just posting their own personal stories about people they knew that just got, you know, they got the vaccine, and all of a sudden they just dropped dead a month, two, 3 months later. Their name is going to escape me at the moment, of course. Diamond and
Silk.
Diamond and Silk. And Silk. Yes.
Yes.
You know, one of them, which one of them passed away? Is it Silk? I think it was Silk.
I think it was. Oh, gosh. You know what? I've actually met them and been at conferences with them. I believe it was Silk.
Yeah. Silk, I believe, passed away. And they're conservative ladies. They, you know, just trying to promote truth and all of that. And, you know, Diamond had said, I'd either read or I saw in a video that even at Silk, for whatever reason, I think she had got the vaccine, and she said that they believe that she passed away because of the vaccine. And these are people who
absolutely
are more on the conservative side of things. They're not into the mainstream narrative for whatever reason. They made, just like anybody else can, she made the choice to do that. And now Diamond is saying, like, I really think that my sister died because of the vaccines. Again, even people who are on the more conservative side are having to come out and be honest and say, yikes, probably shouldn't have done that. So again, guys, I guess I want to stress, just listen, go research. I am not telling you what you should or should not do. What I am telling you is, the one thing I am telling you should do is you should go research this stuff.
Yes.
Before
it disappears. So there used to be, if you used to go into the main search engine and put died suddenly, you would get pages, hundreds of people coming up like right and left. I did it today, by the way, in preparing for this program today. I just went on and I put, you know, sudden death of adults. And just a short summary, we have young people dropping on soccer fields, football players, hundreds of people reported their young teens are dying. A 29-year-old jockey suddenly died. A police officer, baseball player who was 31. Many, many pilots have died. And I have some of those stats. Actors have died. There's an actor, Jansen Panettiere. He died of an enlarged, they now say enlarged heart. Former U.S. swimming star Jamie Kail died suddenly at 42 years of age. They just found her dead at home. No reason. Yep. Matt Poborecko, a minor league baseball player, died at 31 suddenly. Like you mentioned, the movie died suddenly. Basically, they say that there were 5 billion vaccinated people worldwide, and that the numbers of people that are just dropping dead, the ratio is outrageous. And this is the thing. They're going to say it's anecdotal. There's no proof. But when you start looking at, oh my goodness, insurance companies,
yeah,
that they're starting to say, we have a serious problem here, because they insure young people and old people through their employment. And they're starting to see all the numbers of young people dying, finding out through their employment that they're, you know, it's like amazing the numbers of people that are dying that are young. And they're starting to put statistics together. And I can also look up that information for the next time we do this interview, because there's a gentleman who has come out against all of this. And basically he's saying young people are dying in numbers that we've never seen before in history, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, I mean, come on, guys, be honest with yourself. When is the last time you've seen random athletes people who are as young as 12, 13 years old, 20, 30, 40 years old, just dropping dead, that are completely healthy. It just doesn't happen, guys. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And so I encourage you to really look into this. And again, we're just sounding the alarm because we feel like that this is something that you should know, something that you should be aware of. And let's do this. We're going to have Mary back next time, and we're going to go into a little bit more of this died suddenly and why could some of these things be happening. But listen, before we do that, go to childhoodshots.com, childhoodshots.com. Also get Mary's book, Natural Immune Development, A Deeper Understanding. You can get that on Kindle, Amazon. You can get this on her website as well. She also has that 60-page downloadable content all about the pandemic, all about vaccines, and all of those things that she has there. Please make sure that you go do that. And then right now, if you're watching on YouTube, she is holding up an apple, and I'll let her explain a little bit about this apple. It's interesting.
It's something that always gets people's attention. And this is something that everybody can use. If you yourself are pretty convinced that the childhood vaccines are not safe and you have loved ones in the family that might feel differently and you talk about, this is a great analogy for you to use. Say, and of course, you won't have an apple like mine. I take this to my lectures and I have it on my table and it's a conversation piece. But this is an analogy you can use in a restaurant, at the grocery store, or, you know, with friends. If I took an apple and I injected into it large amount of aluminum, some acetone, formaldehyde, bioengineered viruses that are made in laboratories, some aborted fetal tissue, okay, mm-hmm. Would you eat the apple?
Yeah, no one would.
And it's interesting because I've been in restaurants and I've asked nurses that I just start talking with, and you know, I don't try to make them feel bad, but you know, I just say, would you eat it? And they're like, no. And I say, well, why is it safe to inject that into children? Because when you give them a vaccine, you're injecting that and a whole lot more into a child's body who doesn't have a developed immune system yet. Mm-hmm. And it always seems to get them to think, you know, if you can't eat it, if it's not safe to eat, why is it safe to inject?
Mm-hmm.
And when we eat something, our body is designed to filter it out, digest it, assimilate it, absorb what it wants, and excrete whatever it doesn't want, including toxins.
Mm-hmm.
When you inject, you're mm-hmm. bypassing the method of exposure, because most illnesses we are exposed through our mouth and our nose. You're bypassing that and you're injecting it right into the body, which gets picked up in the fluid highway system. And whatever's in that injection gets spread around the whole body very quickly and can even get into the brain. And many of the products that are put in vaccines as adjuvants actually are there to break down the blood-brain barrier and open it up.
Mm. My goodness. My goodness. And if you're listening to this on a podcast and not necessarily watching this, I just want to kind of paint the picture for you. She's a kind of a large apple, and she has all of these syringes that are stuck all around this apple. And then one of the syringes has a little like fetus on it. Obviously not a before I get crazy, people messed me. Just an example of a fetus there. And basically she's able to show this to people and say, hey, look at each one of these syringes is filled with all of these different truly like toxins and viruses and all of this stuff, baby fetal tissue. And like she said, if she were to give that to you and say, hey, would you eat this? You would never do that. There's no way you would do that, right? But instead, we're allowing our children and some of us adults to be injected with all of these things that are not needed. You know, God has given us our immune system. We need our immune system to actually work. And it works better when we stop trying to help God And we allow what he has already created our bodies to do is to fight off all of these different things. When we let that work, it becomes stronger. And then as we are come in contact with things, it fights it better and more effectively. And so a lot of this stuff just suppresses our immune system. And then, like Mary said before, this is why we wonder, why is our kids not healthy? Why are they have depression and anxiety and all of these things that we've not, we listen, guys, come on. I mean, we've said it, me and my wife said it many times, you know, we never 40 years ago, right? When we were coming up, we were little kids. We never saw all of this. I never heard my friends talking about depression and anxiety and not being able to come to school because they're having panic attacks. I mean, come on, guys, this is just not normal. And so we've got to look at where this stuff's coming from. And so anyway, we're happy to have Mary on. We're going to have her on again. Again, 248-301-2010. Just message us if you got show topic suggestions, if you have a prayer request you want us to pray with you about, if you have just your thoughts, comments around any of the topics that we talk about, please just put that there. And then don't forget to rate and review us all the places. Apple is one of the best places to do that. Just go give us the 5 stars and then go leave us a review. It helps us greatly. So when people search for shows like us, it helps us to come up in the feed faster. And then follow us and subscribe so you don't miss any of the new shows and content that we have coming out. We've got kind of 2 big things that are coming up soon. Kyle will be back very soon. I know I've been saying that, and you're like, Kevin, when is he coming back? But he's coming back soon. The next thing I want to say is on episode 100, I have a pretty big announcement that I'm going to make. I think you guys will be happy about it, but we've been working on some things in the background, but I have a huge announcement to make. And so I want you guys to listen to that on the 100th episode. We're on, I think, episode 97 right now, or 98. This one's probably 98. So we've got a couple more episodes, and I'll make this big announcement. And listen, we love you guys. We want you to be informed. Pray about this. Talk to your spouse about this. Let them listen to the show. Go onto Mary's website. Get the book. And then prayerfully consider how you should live your life maybe differently moving forward. We love you guys. God bless you. And we will see you next time.